Well, it's kind of hard to preach after that song and the writing of that dear lady. That's just, that's... Anyways, but the Lord did give me something to share, and with the ministry, and as we look forward, I brought all my visuals back up just in case, so I don't know. I sometimes like to have something. My wife had to train me to quit moving around so much, though. I'm part Italian, so I do talk with my hands, and sometimes the gestures don't seem to make sense or matter. You know, I'm not, and I find people watching my hands, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, okay. All right, we'll try to keep them to myself. But I'm so thankful for the Lord putting us in this ministry. I'm thankful for Pastor letting us come back to visit this church. You're a very unique mission-minded church. I don't think I've been in any other church that takes the time to do the updates like you do and share the stories and the information about it. And as we look at being missionaries ourselves, yes, we're in the local stateside. We're not having to go to Africa and are somewhere like that, but we are over 1,000 miles from our family. We've had to separate from our close ones, our loved ones, even though we're in the United States to do that. But to build a relationship and a partnership with your missionaries, to know what is going on, to pray for the request, know what they may be dealing with, the bombs and the rockets and things that are going off in Israel, a lot of adversity everybody is struggling with. I think that is just unique to see and very encouraging to us to see your heart and your dedication for your missionaries and your missions. And you guys are always welcoming when we come, smiling, happy. It was great to see everybody this morning. There was a lot of joking and carrying on, I could tell, going on this morning. A lot of lightheartedness. It seems like everybody may have had a little bit of a rough nap. You know, it came a little slower tonight, but it's a good attendance. I don't know if you had any trouble getting some rest this afternoon, but I'm thankful to be here and to share from God's Word. And our ministry is producing God's Word, is printing and publishing, as we like to put. Publishing, we don't necessarily print all the material that we put out, but we assemble everything, we collect the information, and then we get it together and sent to the fields. It's an insurmountable task. All the other ministries out there that print and send, we're all overwhelmed with the workload because God has opened a lot of countries, a lot of areas to His Word, and they are just begging to get a copy of God's Word. They want it so bad. And we're all trying our best to do with the resources God gave us to get that to them. And our ministry name is Bearing Precious Seed. And when I started looking into the ministry and with that, I was like, okay, those are interesting. It's an interesting three words. Anybody know what book or know where it's found in the Bible? Psalms, okay. Anybody know the chapter? 126:6. We'll start there tonight. Psalm 126:6. That's where we'll start with this evening. And it's very interesting. And I just kind of took these three words and I tried to break them down, make them practical. It's not just our ministry name. It's also something we should be concerned about in our daily life, you know, in bearing precious seed and what we should have. As you find, yes, if you want to stand, we can read that, and then I'll pray. But I'm thankful for God's Word. Real quick, Psalm 126 and verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time again to be in your house. Thank you so much for these folks being here. They're attentive this evening. Pray your word would be shared and our hearts would be open, and help my flesh to be out of the way to let your spirit work through. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, there are three words that describe our ministry. We're not the only ministry that carries the name Bearing Precious Seed. It can get confusing really quickly. Milford, Ohio, Missouri, Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, Texas, El Paso, Texas. There are all ministries that use Bearing Precious Seed or the type of form of that name. So we get into discussions. No, we're a little bit different. We are out of Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But we do the same ministry that the men who originally set up Bearing Precious Seed and started using the name. The story goes, I don't know how much of it's, what do you call those? A legend or a tale, that Don Frazier was up in the headwaters of the Mississippi, and which we actually were able to visit this year, which is pretty neat. And he was thinking about how the Mississippi, as it builds and grows and flows throughout the mainland and the heart of the country, how beneficial it would be for churches to do the same thing with God's Word, to start assembling and producing God's Word and spreading it out through the country and through the world, kind of like the mighty Mississippi would flow. That's kind of my adaptation to the tale, the legend, however you want to put that, which is great. It makes a good story. I'm not sure the details of that, but when I look at the words bearing precious seed, I felt I needed to take those words and make them practical to me. And because the Lord called me to this ministry, and it's called Bearing Precious Seed. So I was like, let's look at this. Let's figure this out. So this is what the Lord gave me, Bearing Precious Seed. What? First off, the first word, bearing. We're getting real difficult here, right? Bearing. Now, if you're a mechanical guy, I like to share, like I was, bearing. You think about something that you put in a machine. It's around something to reduce the friction, the drag, all that. But this is the old English term of bearing or carrying a burden or a load. We think about, and a lot of this message is going to sound a little bit similar to what I shared for Sunday school, but it has a little bit more detail because I will share some of how the Lord has blessed our ministry. The bearing, a burden that we're bearing. Usually there's a lot of struggles in our lives. We talk about financial, we have health, we have family issues. And the more we get to travel and visit with churches, the more we hear about a lot of things that are going on. This world is a mess. And there is a lot of struggles. There's a lot of people dealing with circumstances and pastors having to deal with situations we never would have thought in the last 10 years would have come around and had to deal with it. We think about that. And we're bearing those burdens. But in Galatians 6:2, you don't have to turn there because I don't want to keep you guys real late, but if you want to, you can. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And as we think about bearing a burden, carrying a struggle through life, the Bible clearly states for us to bear one another's burdens. And as you folks read the missionary prayer letters, you give the update, the prayer requests that the missionaries have, you pray for that. You're helping share in that burden for them to encourage them through it. And the Bible also clearly states about if we have a heavy burden we're carrying, he is willing to do the bulk of the load. In Matthew 11:28-30, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I like to share, I'm a problem solver, troubleshooter type of person. If I see an issue, a problem, a challenge, a burden, I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to take that load and carry it along. And that was one of the verses that God gave me about laboring with God, not laboring for God. Allowing him to pull the load, just kind of be alongside, kind of to balance the yoke, I think is all I have to do, really. God will do the rest. But we got to at least be in the yoke. We got to be beside him and keep going forward and let him do the bulk of the work. So when we think about bearing something, a load, or pushing through, It's difficult. Lost my train of thought. But I want to talk about some burdens we have in ministry. Obviously, our ministry is paper. We have a lot of paper. And in 2020, paper became a shortage, like everything else, steel. Even toilet paper, right? It became a shortage in 2020. But our ministry that's what we use. When we put together a book, of course, there's lots of thinner paper on the inside. If you know the way your Bible's designed, you have a thinner paper, but you put a heavier cover on the outside to protect the inside, which is just normal. It's what we do with all our booklets that we produce. And we were having a hard time. Wisconsin is a paper mill country. I mean, a lot of people think of, we're going to tie two together. There's cheese and paper in Wisconsin. That's kind of, well, okay. There's cheese, paper, and the Green Bay Packers. All right, I had to get that one out there for them. But I'm not a Packer fan. I'm from Pennsylvania, not Wisconsin. But they are a good team. But there's, oh boy. So the paper was harder to get to. We were not able to find the sources. And when we would, the price was double or triple of what we were paying. We were trying to figure out what to do. We contacted several other ministries, and I said, well, hey, we are able to get a pallet of it. We're willing to give you some of it. and we were heading down there to a conference in Tennessee, so they gave us a partial pallet of some paper for a good price. We brought it back so we could continue working, because the workload didn't stop. Churches were like, oh, the shop's still open? Can we come and do our missions? We were planning a missions trip to Brazil, but that got canceled. Can we come to your shop and do a missions trip and put together scriptures? We're like, sure, come on. And they did. And they came, and so we were putting together more and more during that time. And during that, the brother, our director's brother was working for Sargento Cheese. So we're going to tie together paper, now cheese. And in Wisconsin, having a guy working in a cheese factory is not very uncommon. And it's Sargento Cheese is the brand. And they make these little snack packs. And when they do, they put a slip sheet of paper in between each of the plastic containers in the production. So he was taking the time and pulling them out and setting them to the side and brought us a small stack and said, could you use this? It's a very heavy paper, and it's actually designed for doing books any type. It has a gloss finish on one side, which gives you a nice look, and then on the inside it's matte, so any glue, if you had to do that, would adhere to it and would stick. And we thought, yeah, we could definitely use something like this. And he said, well, how much? And our director said, we're working on 100,000 New Testaments right now. We could use 100,000 sheets. And his eyes kind of popped out of his head, like, I don't know about that, but I'll see what I can do. So over time, he was bringing some handfuls of handfuls. And then as the people were asking him, why are you putting this aside? What are you doing with this? And he said, well, my brother works at a printing ministry. He's putting together Bibles, and they're going to be able to cut these down and use them to use on Bibles to send out. And so the people started helping him. And then the management found out, and they're like, oh, that's fine, but you have to do it on your own time. They started collecting it and putting it in the warehouse, and they would save up 2 pallets worth of material, contact us, and we had a gentleman with a truck and trailer who would go over and pick it up and then bring it to us, and we'd use it. Through time, we ended up with 14 pallets of material for free. The company was paying to recycle that material. Now we were able to give them a tax write-off and put them on Bibles, and we've covered, it's around 1 million scriptures with that material that we were able to get. And that got us through the slump of 2020 and dealing with a traverse. So that was a burden that we were bearing, we were struggling with, and dealing with the simple fact that we need paper. That's what our ministry is. How would we do that? We're like, Lord, where do we turn? It's one of those things. Who would have thought we would get reused paper from a cheese factory? You know, and they're actually Catholic. And that's just something we could have tried to plan all day long to figure out where we're going to get that from, but God just knew right away where that was going to come from. And so we were blessed to get through that dry spell of that. So as we bear a burden, as we look at a struggle we may be going through, we need to allow God to do the work. Let him take that burden. And then the primary goal, though, I want to share, that's the physical side, what we got to deal with. The spiritual side of bearing. In Mark 16:15, probably some of you have this memorized, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the burden that we need to be bearing. That is what we need to be struggling with. And that's what our ministry is trying so much to equip missionaries and churches around the world and through the United States, and giving them God's word so they can bear help with that burden that God has placed upon us. And then I want to look at the next word, precious. I'm kind of giving a little bit of a bridge version. Hopefully, I'm not speaking too fast. I'm getting my northeast out right now. I can go rapid fire in talking. But precious, what is precious to you? If we think about that for a moment, what is something that is precious to us? Of course, our flesh and our mind, we think about material things, right? Precious. I like to think about times that are precious to us have been as we travel or when we get chances to revisit with family or actually get back home and have all 3 of my kids back home. You know, it's just we're at that stage where everybody's kind of going around, but around the holidays, we bring everybody back together. That is a precious time. I treasure that. When I get to go and visit my mom, spend a little bit of time with her and my 2 sisters, we got to spend in September with her mom and dad and her 1 sister. We got to spend some time with them. It's just precious to reconnect and share because they're very much interested in what we're doing, and we're about 1,000 miles away from them where we are now. And those are something precious. We can think about precious stones, right? Gold, precious silver, precious stones. Those are commodities that stay valuable through the decline and through the turmoil that we're going through in the economy. And if you want to turn to Psalm 49, we'll go ahead and there's a couple of verses here we'll look at. We think about what is precious, and the Bible clearly states that we shouldn't focus on that, and that's what I want to look at here in Psalm 49. There's three verses, verses 6, 7, and 8. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in a multitude of the riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever. We think about the most precious thing, God clearly states right here what it is, a soul that is redeemed, soul that is saved. Well, we're trying to get these scriptures out into the countries that are looking and have people that are hungry for God's word. They get saved and they want to have a Bible to read. And that's where I share about Malawi, Africa. We did several different quantities and two container loads to go there already, and looking at sending our personal third container, which I think would give them almost four within the last 2 years, containers of materials to hand out and to give. And I brought one of our examples from the back table. This was a bilingual John Romans and Chichewe, which is their language that we did. And on the back of it, it has pictures of different pastors and ministries that were all going to be able to receive this when it went over there. And they did, and they have them now in their hands to minister and reach to their communities. And this will be back there on the table if you want to kind of look. But there's just all kinds of, they're all in Malawi, different areas that have, that can speak that language. And when I look at, you know, the ministries that this was able to reach, this was able to work with, it's just amazing, you know. And that was all put together in our shop by volunteers, people that just were faithful, coming out, putting it together. The Lord blessed us with a gentleman who helped us go over our machines, was able to do some training with me before he retired, moved to Georgia. So we were able to get some experience. The little details God gave us through that. And Malawi had been a very volatile country just a few years ago. And now the regime that has it is very casual, very laid back. So much so that the one missionary would try to go and have Bible studies with the police officers. He would sit down and have Bible studies. The chief found out about it, called him in and said, I want you to have Bible studies with all my officers and give them all a Bible. You think that's going to happen here in the United States of America? How many police stations will be like, sure, Pastor, come on in. I think the Glendale area police force is going to be like, hey, Pastor, come in and have Bible study. Give them all Bibles. I mean, I'm sure he'd be willing to do it. I'd be willing to help you get the Bibles too. But you get called to the police station, you're like, oh, we're in trouble, right? It's like getting called to the principal's office. But they were called, and he asked for that. And there's around 16,000 officers in this little country. It's a tiny little strip of land in Africa. When you think of Africa, you think of Kenya. You think of these large countries. But this Malawi, I forget the population of it, but it's very populous. It's a small country that they have over 16,000 officers. Well, that's a lot of Bibles. They were able to hand out a good 2,000 to 3,000 so far. And that's where I was sharing. We're looking to, our director went over just about a month ago to Malawi, was able to visit with the missionary there, and he went into that same office with that police chief, and he says, well, we need about 12,000 more Bibles. When do you think you could get some? And the missionary says, well, let me check with my contact, and I'll get back to you. He said, well, when can you check with your contact? And our director's standing right beside him, so he turns to our director and says, when can we get some 12,000 Bibles, Tim? And he's like, not putting you on the spot here, but he's like, well, I guess we'll start working on it. What are we going to do? And then they went and visited a couple other places, and they needed another 12,000, 15,000. And the same scenario kind of happened that they're like, well, when can you get it? Like, oh, like they're expecting, pull out your phone and call your contact now, you know? And he's like, well, I don't have to. He's standing beside me. But he was trying to give him a little bit of a buffer so he wouldn't have to have that direct information or direct contact. But since then, we shared with another ministry in Tennessee that has a large printing press. We said we can put about 30,000 Bibles on a container. That's roughly the weight limit and the load capacity. And we would like 30,000. And we said, well, how much would it cost to produce that? And they then called him about a month and a half later and said, oh, your Bibles are done. And he's like, well, how much? What's it? No problem, we're giving them to you. It's all yours to use. So that's probably around $60,000 worth of material that was donated to help with that. And so we're started on 10,000 of them. They're going to work on some of them down there in between so we can try to get these out as quickly as possible. A Bible, I don't know if you saw our video this morning, when you lay the, you have to walk around a table and collate, stack them on top of each other. They make machines that do it, but it's not as much fun. It's not as much fellowship. The Spirit isn't able to work in that, and it's amazing how quickly, though, we can get it done. We bring in a youth group, and they can go through those Bibles like you wouldn't believe, going around the table, because it then becomes a challenge, becomes a race. We try to make sure we do good quality control and double check on everything. But they stack, and it's 18 stacks of paper, basically, a little thin, well, close to the size of a John Romans booklet. There's like 18 of those you have to stack on top of each other and then double check, make sure they're in the right order. But we have to do that 10,000 times. That's a lot to go on. And then they run through the machine in a binder and get processed so we can have a complete book that looks similar like that. And we're going to customize those covers. We're able to do that with a digital press, so it'll be a special gift just for them as their service as a police officer. The other thing, same thing happens in Malawi. The police are looked down upon. They're looked, there's one corrupt police officer and they're all corrupt, right? That's just the way things happen. And they're looked down upon. Plus, it costs them about, the lowest level officer would cost about 2 weeks of their salary to buy a Bible if they had spare money, which they're barely making enough money to feed their family as it is, to set aside that kind of money to buy a Bible, and we're giving it to them as a gift. So that just means so much more in appreciation, and then it will have a representation of their service on those, which is just neat to see. So as we look at having the precious souls, those officers, we have some videos on our links through our social media accounts. The director or the public relations officer clearly states, if everybody had a Bible and believed in it, we wouldn't need our police force. She knew that. In Malawi, Africa, she understands what God's Word can do and how much God's Word can change lives. So as we look at what these verses say, you know, we talk about the wealth. They trust in their wealth and boast themselves in a multitude of riches. I like to think of one of the richest men in the world, Elon Musk, right? He just has everything, anything he wants is pretty much available. But one thing his money's never going to buy is his soul being saved from hell. And if he were to try to save somebody else, it still wouldn't work. It doesn't matter whether it's for him or for somebody else. Money, riches, wealth will not do that. And as God clearly states here in verse 8, the redemption of your soul is precious. And that's what keeps us going. At the end of our video, we count down how many people could potentially have died if you go by statistics and not having a Bible. We think of all those souls that are lost, that haven't had a chance to hear God's Word. Excuse me. Haven't had a chance to have a Bible in their hand to read, to study. And that's what our motivation, our ministry, to keep going. And then the last part of that is the seed, which is very simple. We're in Wisconsin, so I'm picking on Wisconsin tonight. Agricultural area also, a lot of different crops and things. So seed is not uncommon. But if we're going to produce anything, we have to put, or reproduce anything, we have to put the seed in the ground. We have to sow it again. We just keep eating, it's all going to go away if nobody takes the time to grow new, grow fresh, right, seed? So I want to look at what are we sowing. And I'm going to go to Matthew 6. And this is just the parable of the seed and the sower. It's kind of common. Matthew chapter 6. I think I got that right. I'm in the right place. Well, this is it's not the sower. I got ahead of my notes. Lay not up for yourselves, verse 19, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, we're talking about the precious soul, the preciousness, that seed that we sow can be a soul in heaven, can be produced. And as we put these Bibles out across the world, across the United States, in local churches, different missionaries, they're there. And as we shared, again, the man who started the ministry in Shelbyville, Tennessee, Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, we went down for a conference Lamon, Brother Lamon is his name, and he mentioned that the scriptures will be around even when we're gone. And it really rung through to me when I finally heard it from him. And that was the motivation why he's doing the ministry that they have, why he's producing so many scriptures. So as we, it's a seed. It's a non-GMO, right? It can reproduce. Even when we're done with it, we pass on eternity. We don't need the Bible anymore. We have the direct word of God once we're in heaven. But we can leave behind our copy, our word, our works, or not works, but our seed that we sow to others to pick up and to continue the ministry as we move forward. As it talks about not laying up a treasure, we talked about Elon Musk and all his achievements and accomplishments. He's always spending those millions of dollars or billions of dollars with those rockets trying to send them up, bring them back down. There's always, you know, talk about that, just the amount of sheer money for him to create an achievement and accomplishment to be more successful. That's not what we need to be doing with our lives. There's nothing wrong with having wealth or riches and using them for the Lord, using them to further the ministry. And that's where our ministry wouldn't be able to do what it did if people weren't generous. They weren't giving of their hard-earned money, of their labors, the fruits of their labors. There's people all the time making generous donations to the ministry and helping us personally at times. It's just amazing blessing to be a part of that and see God work and getting his seed around the world. And I was just thinking, we talk about seed. The clear definition of it is in Luke 8:11. Because that's the parable of the seed and sower. I got ahead of myself. It says, Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Anybody need a different translation to understand that one? The seed is the word of God. So what's the word of God right here? We have plenty of copies of God's word. And as we think about a lot of other ministries working towards having that seed for their people and putting it, those were the two other examples I have. And I'll try to wrap up here. I don't want to keep you too late. This is, like I mentioned, Tetum. It's another 45th language. It's brand new. We were the first ministry to actually publish the New Testament to go to these folks. And we're working towards filling a full container of materials for that country to get to them. That missionary, in his evenings, you know, talk about being bivocational and working. He's ministering to a people and in his spare time sitting down and translating tirelessly, endlessly God's word. I think about it, I get tired. I mean, day and age now, I mean, even if you type it out, I mean, just the amount of time it takes to just directly transfer, to be a stenographer, so to speak, the amount of time it takes to directly transfer one thing to another, but to make your brain work in that aspect to take one language and put it into another, that it's understandable, it's clean, it's clear, it makes sense to the people, that they're encouraged by it, the difficulty that is. And he would constantly contact us like, oh, I want to make this change. I want to make this change, maybe a punctuation or a switch, just because he was that concerned. He wanted them to have the most accurate copy. I mean, we're only men. We all make mistakes. But he's trusting in the Lord to do that, to take the time and the effort to do that. And then the folks here in Chiapas, Mexico, and like I said, we were out traveling in New York. We went to a conference to meet with some pastors to try to establish some new contacts, maybe a chance to share our ministry with them. And a pastor was there that knew my dad and his ministry from quite a few years ago. And he said, oh, you're with Bearing Precious Seed. You need to talk to Brother McCubbins. And so he takes me over and introduces me to this older gentleman. And he says, we need somebody to print a New Testament for some folks in Chiapas, Mexico. They have the whole New Testament done. They started working on the Old Testament. We have all the documents. We have all the files. Everything's ready to go. And I said, well, let me get to my director. We'll see where we can line that up in our production schedule. That was the other thing. We've had several requests for materials, and it's just been overwhelming how many materials and requests we've had. And so I talked about it, and unfortunately, it was about a year till we could get to it, just due to the volume of things going through the shop. But then the Lord provided a clear window. We partnered with another ministry to help get them insides done more quickly and produced, and brought them in. And we started on these, I think it was July. I believe we got them in July. And I told the missionary, I said, I'll have them done. Praying the Lord will work it out. We'll have them done by the end of September. Well, we got them done about a week and a half early. And that's where I said, we got contacted constantly. When are we getting them? When are we getting our New Testament? There's about four or five gentlemen that formed a committee, and they're working, supporting their families in a third world country, trying to do that, but then same thing. In the evenings, and their off time, their weekends, they were taking God's word, and they were taking their time to do a correct translation. If you get a chance to open it, look at it, it's more of an indigenous language. It looks more like a Native American or style language. It is very difficult to comprehend what they had to do to translate that, to give their people. They wanted to leave behind a seed for their people to grow off of, to sow, and to minister from. And there's several other ministries we hear about that are still working to translate God's word. And we look at, there's 7,106 languages in the world that are known as of 2020, roughly. I need to update this maybe and check. But as we grow and expand, we're finding more languages. Out of those 7,100 languages, 704 of them have a whole Bible. Now, this is a very loose statistic. This is based off of, this isn't King James, Textus Receptus. This is just saying that they have, somebody claims they made a Bible. 704 of those are just whole Bibles. The New Testament, there are 1,551, and then just a partial, whether it's a verse, a John, book of John, book of Romans, Psalms, are only 1,160 of the languages. So you look at that small amount of number, that's where we get our 25%, only 25% of the world has a Bible, or even has a portion of the Bible. When you look at those statistics on how much more we need to do to get God's word into their hands, to as we find people that sell Tao, they live in a Spanish-speaking country, but they are up in the hills. They kind of are their own country. They've held on to their nationality. Most of them don't speak Spanish. They don't even understand it. So they have to have their native tongue, and the people saw that, and they worked towards it to get that and produced. So we think about all bearing precious seed, bearing the burden of getting God's word out to the others, and the preciousness of the souls that can be saved, and then, of course, souls then are saved. They can leave behind a seed for others to save more souls and move forward. That's what I had wanted to share with the name of our ministry and kind of what our ministry does and the blessings the ministry God has been giving us. It's just been neat to see his blessing. And I'll leave with one more phrase that my director likes to share, that God wants his word spread more than we do. Because we fail at it, definitely. We fail at getting his word out, but God wants it out, so he will make it happen. He'll even use somebody like me, which is pretty, it's just exciting. I'm happy he is. So thank you. That's what I had, Pastor.